Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa limits how the growing drone delivery industry operates in city. Delivery services could soon take to the skies and be transported by drones, so the Mesa City Council placed new restrictions on the industry, such as limiting where charging stations can locate. Drone delivery services aren't new to Arizona, but would be for Mesa. In 2022, the e-commerce giant Amazon began drone delivery services in the West Valley. Now several companies are eyeing Mesa as the next market to enter. That prompted the Mesa City Council, July 27, to approve new rules about where and how the drones can operate within city limits. The new regulations include how far charging stations must be from residential areas, the maximum height for charging poles, and council approval within specific zoning districts. Mesa Mayor Mark Freeman, during the meeting, said the new regulations were implemented to get ahead of the issue. The city would have rules in place before the drone companies begin entering East Valley and before a new state law imposes its own restrictions on them in place of city rules. Companies like Zipline and Wing, a subsidiary of Google's parent company, have both filed preliminary applications indicating interest in beginning operations in Mesa. The city has not approved the projects as of July 29. Zipline, a San Francisco-based company, began in 2014 and in 2025 launched drone delivery for food and retail goods. It partners with restaurants like Chipotle and Little Caesars and stores like Walmart, according to its company website. The drone company filed paperwork on July 13 to install a charger site with four chargers at a shopping center near Guadalupe and Hawes Roads. Each pole holds 12 drones, planning documents show. The company uses a pole charging station that is typically about 26 feet tall, according to Zipline documents. Wing is partnering with Walmart to expand its drone delivery service. In the spring, the company filed pre-submittal applications to gauge the city's interest in the service. Unlike Zipline, Wing does drone charging at ground level. Walmart filed preliminary paperwork to bring Wing services to five different locations in Mesa. The council debated whether to allow vertical charging stations in commercial areas rather than limit them to industrial areas. Four of the seven council members voted to allow the poles at a 30-foot maximum. Freeman said he was hesitant to place too many restrictions to give more options to the industry. Companies that want to operate in a limited commercial zoning district, which typically are placed closer to residential areas, will need to receive council approval rather than administratively, as the new rules indicate. The electric charging stations for drones and other vehicles cannot be located within 150 feet of residential homes. That story was Mesa Limits, how the growing drone delivery industry operates in the city. The next story, Water Stretch and Tone Class, August 31 to September 23 in Apache Junction. A water stretch and tone class in Apache Junction for ages 16 and up offers a lower intensity workout. This fun class will get you moving, tone muscles, increase flexibility, build endurance, and improve balance. It states at the registration page, https://tinyurl.com/msbafrks. No swimming skills required. The Mondays and Wednesdays class, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., August 31 to September 23, but not Labor Day, will be held at the Superstition Aquatic Center, 1091 West Southern Avenue. The cost is $40. Register at https://tinyurl.com/msbafrks. For questions about registration, call the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department at 480-474-5240. That story was Water Stretch and Tone Class, August 31 to September 23 in Apache Junction. The next story, witness helps rescue unconscious man from Mesa Canal. A man was rescued after falling into a Mesa Canal, but his condition was not immediately known, police said. officers responded to the area of Greenfield Road and U.S. 60 around 6:20 p.m. July 28, but a witness had already assisted the man out of the canal prior to their arrival, according to police spokesperson Detective Laura Cervantes. The man was believed to have accidentally fallen in, Cervantes said. The man was unconscious but breathing and was taken to the hospital, according to Cervantes. His name had not yet been released as of July 29. That story was Witness Helps Rescue Unconscious Man from Mesa Canal. The next story, Adult Pickleball League offered in Apache Junction. Doubles pickleball leagues for ages 18 and older, double headers, will be held in Apache Junction on Thursday nights starting October 8. Find a partner and register for the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Leagues at Prospector Park, 3015 North Idaho Road. Divisions are based on skill level and age. Only one player per team needs to register. When registering, it will ask for your other two teammates' names and ratings, based on highest rated and age of the youngest player. League's times and dates are beginners 3.0, 18 and older, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, October 8 to December 10. Intermediate 3.5, 18 and older, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, October 8 to December 10. Intermediate 3.5, 40 and older, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, October 8 to December 10. Advanced 4.0, 18 and older, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, October 8 to December 10. Advanced 4.0, 40 and older, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, October 8 to December 10. Cost is $40. Register at https://tinyurl.com/msbafrks. For questions about registration, call the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department at 480-474-5240. And that was Adult Pickleball League offered in Apache Junction. The next story, Mesa approves 150-room AC hotel by Marriott, boosting downtown revamp. Downtown Mesa's hotel inventory is gaining momentum after a planned 5-story, 150-room AC hotel by Marriott cleared the City Council on July 27. The Council approved a development agreement and property tax break to make way for the 85,000-square-foot upscale hotel on a less-than-one-acre site on the northeast corner of Main Street and Centennial Way. The Marriott-branded hotel will replace a mechanic car shop and an empty vacant lot to the east. Developers are expected to spend $39 million on construction costs, according to the city. Jeff McVeigh, the city's urban transformation director, said landing the AC Hotel is a big win for downtown that will make the district more of a destination. The developers requested a government property lease excise tax agreement, which gives them an 8-year property tax break amounting to $2.1 million. The developer will purchase the property, then deed it over to the city, so the city will technically own it. By doing this, the developer avoids paying property taxes and instead pays a lower-rate excise tax. McVeigh said the GPLET was required to make the development come together. "We are an unproven market from a hospitality perspective," he said. "There was a gap that needed to be filled to make the hotel financially viable, and the tax break fills that," he said. "Currently, there are only two other hotels operating in the square mile that comprises downtown. The Delta Hotel by Marriott has 274 rooms and 233 suites. Unscripted by Hyatt, which only opened in June, has 76 rooms. With the AC Hotel, the Mesa's total hotel room inventory will reach 500 rooms. The city estimated the direct economic benefit over the 8-year tax break period to the city will be $4.9 million, and indirectly, it will bring in $51 million from visitor spending and labor income. The developer will also make a one-time payment of $17,000 to three local school districts to make up for the tax break, according to the agreement. Mesa projects the hotel will generate 45,000 hotel room nights annually. It will create 50 permanent jobs when it opens, according to city documents. It will also support the city's convention center makeover it is planning, McVeigh said. In February, the city launched a bid to solicit ideas on how to revive the center and the Mesa Amphitheater. The developer will also lease 100 parking spaces from the city's Hibbert parking garage for 50 years because the hotel location will not have parking spots on site. Additionally, the hotel will include a minimum of 1,500 square feet of meeting space, a bar and bistro restaurant with indoor and outdoor seating, and an outdoor pool. Developers are expected to break ground in December and spend 15 months constructing the hotel, according to the city. That story was Mesa approves 150-room AC hotel by Marriott, boosting downtown revamp. The next story, transportation issues spark new battle between East Valley School District's EVIT. The nine East Valley school districts that were embroiled in a legal battle with the East Valley Institute of Technology are voicing concerns over how their students are being transported to the EVIT campuses. In exchange for reducing pass-through funding to career and technical education student satellite programs on various school campuses, EVIT agreed to foot the bill to transport students from schools to its main campuses in Mesa. Transportation had been a local district expense under past agreements. Monday was the first day EVIT provided transportation. In a letter sent to EVIT Superintendent Chad Wilson, the school districts allege that in the first week of providing transportation to students, EVIT has been using commercial rideshare services such as Uber and Lyft, and some students were being left stranded. Multiple students were transported using commercially available rideshare services, including Uber and Lyft, the letter stated. Publicly available information indicates that these services do not utilize Arizona fingerprint clearance requirements for their drivers. The Central Campus Intergovernmental Agreement requires EVIT to utilize transportation providers whose drivers meet specified safety standards, including comprehensive background investigations, fingerprint clearance, and applicable sex offender registry screening. According to the district letter, personnel from the districts allege that not only were commercial rideshare services used, drivers arrived without identifiable credentials, could not communicate effectively with students or staff, were uncertain about student assignments or destinations, and operated vehicles that raised concerns regarding safety and reliability. The letter was issued on behalf of the Queen Creek, Chandler, Gilbert, Higley, Cave Creek, Apache Junction, Fountain Hills, J.O. Combs, and Tempe Union school districts. In a statement, EVIT denied that it was using Uber and Lyft and added that drivers assigned to EVIT routes are employees of the contracted transportation company. The company is called Harbor Transportation. EVIT also stated it acknowledged the terms of the IGA regarding transportation safety standards. As with any new transportation system, we anticipated there would be operational challenges during implementation, according to the EVIT statement. We have experienced some issues during the first week of service, including late arrivals, missed pickups, and routing adjustments. While those challenges are not acceptable as a long-term standard, they are being addressed daily with our transportation provider, and we have already seen improvement. Last fall, the districts sued EVIT when the tech school announced it was reducing the percentage of state funds it doles out to the districts for satellite programs, citing a state audit as its rationale. Under the new deal, EVIT funding to campuses has been reduced to 76%, but EVIT agreed to absorb up to $5 million in transportation costs to get students to its campuses. The letter stated that the districts repeatedly offered to continue using their transportation systems to take their students to the central campuses, with EVIT reimbursing the districts for those transportation costs. Our transportation departments already had the routes, personnel, infrastructure, and experience necessary to safely transport students on the first day of school, the letter continued. EVIT declined that offer and instead assumed responsibility for transporting students directly. EVIT denied that was the case. The nine member districts created this problem by suspending transportation services they had been providing for 30 years, the EVIT statement read. The districts then refused EVIT's offer of $4 million to cover their costs. That left EVIT with no choice but to come up with its own transportation plan, with no logistical assistance from the districts. Any suggestion that EVIT was unwilling to support student transportation does not reflect the actions we have taken or the significant resources we have committed to ensuring students could continue attending EVIT. Incidents reported by the districts include 47 students at J.O. Combs Unified School District were not picked up as scheduled. Pickup delays approaching 1 hour occurred at multiple campuses. Students at Higley Unified School District waited about 45 minutes before scheduled transportation failed to arrive. Students returned to their district campuses later than scheduled, missing instructional time. This letter is not written to revisit past disagreements. It is written because all students deserve transportation that is safe, reliable, and predictable, the district letter stated. When that standard is not met, every one of us has an obligation to address it immediately. That story was Transportation Issues Spark New Battle Between East Valley School District's EVIT. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona's East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, court records reveal heartbreaking details in Mesa woman's death. The man accused of killing 36-year-old Mesa woman Sierra Tellez was due back in court. Kyle Collins, 38, was accused of first-degree murder and kidnapping in the death of Tellez, who was his ex-girlfriend, according to a charging document. New details of the crime were made public through court records, which indicated Tellez was murdered in a violent and prolonged attack. Collins has a status conference set for July 30 in Maricopa County Superior Court. A preliminary hearing was scheduled for August 3. His bond was set at $1.25 million. Collins was accused of killing Tellez after an argument on July 21, according to court documents. Collins called 911 on the night of July 21, according to police. He told first responders he had found Tellez unresponsive in their apartment and was trying to perform CPR on her. When first responders arrived, they immediately pronounced Tellez dead and told police it was a crime scene, documents said. Police said they found Tellez naked and badly beaten in her apartment, which she shared with Collins. Tellez suffered bruises all over her body, deep gashes on her head, and wounds on her shin, according to court records. A metallic rod was found near her body, according to police, who said they believe it was a weapon used in her murder. The rod was broken, with blood and hair on it. Police also saw blood on the walls and the floor of the apartment, and a large kitchen knife in the sink. There was bloody clothing on the floor outside the bathroom, they said. Investigators said blood and other evidence had also been cleaned up throughout the apartment. They used the chemical luminol to see large amounts of blood in the bathroom, bedroom, and living room, court documents said. When police interviewed Collins, he told them that he had left for work and returned home to find Tellez in the bathroom, according to documents. However, police said that video surveillance showed Collins did not leave for work and entered the apartment several times during the period he claimed to have been gone. The video showed a shirtless Collins exit the apartment while wiping his chest and arms, according to police. Collins' workplace told investigators that Collins' mother told them he was taking a sick day to clear his head after finding out his girlfriend had cheated on him, according to documents. During conversations with law enforcement, police said Collins initially declined harming Tellez, but then said, "I already know I'm F-period." That story was court records reveal heartbreaking details in Mesa woman's death. The next story, Apache Junction Cooling Center ready for 120-degree forecast. The National Weather Service's extreme heat warning continues through the weekend with temperatures in the valley possibly hitting 120 degrees. Starting Thursday, the National Weather Service says high temperatures through Sunday could range from 115 degrees to 120 degrees. This extreme heat can be life-threatening, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention provides the following tips for preventing heat-related illness. Drink plenty of fluids, avoid liquids that cause you to lose more body fluids, such as alcohol and sugary drinks. Stay indoors if at all possible. Wear lightweight, light-colored, loose-fitting clothing. Limit outdoor activity to morning and evening hours. If outdoors, rest often in a shady area and wear a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and plenty of sunscreen. The Salvation Army operates a cooling center in the town that's open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, 605 East Broadway Avenue. The center is wheelchair accessible, allows non-service animals, and collects water donations. It will be closed on Labor Day. Information 602-267-4193. That story was Apache Junction Cooling Center ready for 120-degree forecast. The next story, Mesa man jailed after girlfriend is found dead in their apartment. A Mesa man has been accused of killing his girlfriend after he told police he had returned home to find her dead in their apartment. At around 11:15 a.m. July 21, Mesa police received a call from the man claiming he had returned home to their apartment and found his girlfriend unresponsive, according to spokesperson Detective Laura Cervantes. Kyle Collins, 37, said he was starting CPR in Sierra Tejas, 36, while waiting for help to arrive, Cervantes said. Tejas was found dead with significant injuries, according to Cervantes. Detectives from the Mesa Police Homicide Unit arrived on scene to assume the investigation, and during this time, detectives learned that Collins and Tejas were in a relationship and living together at the time, Cervantes said. A preliminary observation by the Maricopa County Office of the Medical Examiner, along with interviews conducted during the investigation and evidence collected, led detectives to determine there was probable cause to arrest Collins, according to Cervantes. Collins was booked into jail and faced charges of first-degree murder and kidnapping, Cervantes said. He was being held on more than $1 million bond, with his next court date scheduled for July 29, court records showed. That story was Mesa man jailed after girlfriend is found dead in their apartment. The next story, a new leaf in Mesa seeking $10,000 for Pinal County Rapid Rehousing Program. A request to authorize the submission of a grant application by A New Leaf for $10,000 for a rapid rehousing program was approved recently by the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. The board voted 4-0 July 1st on a consent agenda with other items to approve a resolution seeking the funding from the Ak-Chin Indian Community Shared Revenue Program and for Pinal County to serve as the fiscal agent. Supervisor Stephen Q. Miller was absent. The funding would provide essential living kits to households served by A New Leaf's rapid rehousing and tenant-based rental assistance programs in Pinal County, wrote Paula Kipp, Senior Private Grants Manager for A New Leaf, a Mesa nonprofit, in an application for the funds. The programs provide individualized support to assist families and individuals with transitioning out of homelessness and into stable housing. Services include housing navigation, rent and utility financial assistance, case management, employment support, budget coaching, and more, she said. Services in the Rapid Rehousing and Tenant-Based Rental Assistance programs include financial assistance for move-in costs, rent, and utilities for up to 24 months, financial coaching, employment assistance, benefits enrollment, life skills training, and trauma-informed case management, it states. For information on A New Leaf, 868 East University Drive in Mesa, go to https://www.anewleaf.org. The story was A New Leaf in Mesa seeking $10,000 for Pinal County Rapid Rehousing Program. The next story, Ace Hardware hosts fundraising bucket days benefiting Phoenix Children's Hospital. Visit Ace Hardware, such as in Apache Junction or Mesa, August 7 to 9, and make a $5 donation to Phoenix Children's Hospital to receive 20% off nearly anything that fits inside a 5-gallon bucket. Every donation benefits the Phoenix Children's Hope Fund, helping provide state-of-the-art medical equipment, support groundbreaking research and clinical trials, and fund more than 170 programs and services that make family-centered care possible. Local Ace Hardware stores include Ruggiero's Ace Hardware, Apache Junction, 725 West Apache Trail Road, No. 3B in Apache Junction, Ruggiero's Ace Hardware, East Mesa, 2758 South Crisman Road in Mesa, Van Mark's Ace Hardware Store, 6315 East Southern Avenue, Suite No. 101 in Mesa, Ellsworth Ace Hardware, 5221 South Ellsworth Road in Mesa, Mesa Ace Hardware, 2842 North Power Road in Mesa, and Rod's Ace Hardware No. 2, 1050 North Higley Road in Mesa. For locations of other Arizona Ace Hardware stores, go to https://www.acehardware.com/store-locator. That story was Ace Hardware hosts fundraising bucket days benefiting Phoenix Children's Hospital. The next story, Tempe nonprofit seeks nearly $10,000 for Pinal County Regenerative Desert Food Forest. A request to authorize the submission of a grant application by Desert Abundance in Tempe for $9,871 for a regenerative desert food forest at Boyce Thompson Arboretum near Superior was approved recently by the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. The board voted 4-0 July 1st on a consent agenda with other items to approve a resolution seeking the funding from the Akchin Indian Community Shared Revenue Program and for Pinal County to serve as the fiscal agent. Supervisor Stephen Q. Miller was absent. The funds are for the nonprofit to expand access to fresh, healthy food while restoring desert ecosystems through low-water cultivation of edible and medicinal plants. Tim Eske, Desert Abundance Director and Secretary, wrote in the application for Proposition 202 Tribal Gaming Funds. Desert Abundance was incorporated in 2025, according to the Arizona Corporation Commission's website. The nonprofit plans to use the money to continue the Heartland Project, a regenerative food forest, it states in the application. Desert Abundance has secured a land use agreement for 5 acres at Boyce Thompson Arboretum near Superior in the Copper Corridor, an area widely recognized as a food desert. Over the past 3 years, the Heartland Project team has restored and studied the site, built partnerships, and prepared for expanded cultivation of desert-adapted heirloom crops using methods that protect native flora, fauna, and ecological systems, it states. Funding sought includes $3,000 for water deliveries, $1,942 for fencing materials including 10-foot rail panels, hardware cloth, and chicken wire, $1,285 for marketing, networking support, and supplies, $630 for 2 650-foot rolls and 2 450-foot rolls of drip tape, connectors, pressure regulators, and incline filters to expand growing space by installing irrigation supplies to establish drought-tolerant crops. $585 for development and printing for informational brochures, $550 for drip system weather modulator with soil moisture sensors, $450 for an auger and bits, $450 for equipment and supplies for food preparation classes, $380 for 2 battery weed trimmers and supplies, $349 for a 14-inch chainsaw and maintenance, $250 for printing for workshops and class educational materials. For information on the nonprofit, go to https://www.desertabundance.org. That story was Tempe Nonprofit seeks nearly $10,000 for Pinal County Regenerative Desert Food Forest. Remember that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can take SunSounds with you using our streaming and on demand on our SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.